Our first case of the evening is number 12,015. Jason M. Harshberger seeks an appeal of a determination by the planning director, section 115-208 and 115-209 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located at the south side of South Shore Drive, extended approximately 432 feet south of Marina View Court. The 911 address is 32 South Shore Drive, Bethany Beach. The zoning district is MR and the tax map is District 134, Map 2, Parcels 3.01 and 4.00. We received zero letters of support, opposition, and no mail returns.
Okay, thank you. You may step forward and be sworn in, please.
You state your name and address for the record.
Jason Harshberger, 542 Harvest Lane, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, 17055.
Thank you. And what we're going to do is get everybody's name and we'll swear everybody at the same time.
Stacy Harshberger, 542 Harvest Lane, Mechanicsburg, PA, 17055.
Thank you.
Adam Rones with Culver and Pearson, 38759 Seagull Road, Selbyville, Delaware, 19975.
Thank you.
Tom Fertig, 2036 West Piney Grove, Georgetown, Delaware, 19947.
Thank you. And do the four of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And when you go up, can you just repeat your name for the record so we know who's speaking? And Mr. Chairman, just as a point of order, this one is a little different. It's not an application for special use exception or a variance. This is an appeal of a director's decision, which I believe all of you should have received at this point in time. As is our normal protocol with those cases, we have the appellant have an opportunity to present their case first. We allow Ms. Cornwell, as the planning and zoning director, an opportunity to explain her letter and determination, and obviously give the appellants an opportunity to respond to that, as well as anyone who is in the public who wishes to speak for or against it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good evening.
Again, I'm Adam Rones, and just want to go over sort of a brief summary of what we're here to discuss tonight, and then Mr. and Mrs. Harshberger are going to give some details, kind of the sequence of events and what they're, you know, requesting looking forward. We brought some documents, which we'll share with you here in a minute, and basically those are some of the neighboring pictures of homes in the community that have gone through this process before, and then also some letters of support from a majority of the residents in the community. So as Mr. Sharp mentioned, it's basically twofold. Tonight, we're requesting an appeal of the planning and zoning decision, which is that we were not granted a special use exception hearing for South Shores Marina, which has gone through several names over the years. In some of the literature, it's Rock Turn Mobile Home Park, in some it's Simpsons Mobile Home Park, but basically we're discussing the property on the south end of the Indian River Inlet behind the campground, adjacent to the marina, which has a mixture of mobile homes, modular homes, and stick built. So they're going to discuss the case and sort of outline some of the cases that have come here before that were granted the ability to have a special use exception be heard without having to request the appeal prior to that. And then we'd also just like to feel obligated to thank Representative Gray from our area because he's basically helped us continue the communication between the county and ourselves and help, you know, with this appeal. So we wanted to make sure that he was noted tonight. So I will give you guys some pictures and some supporting documents, and then they'll run through some of the details.
Go ahead, Jason. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Jason Harshberger, and I'm joined today by my wife, Stacy, and obviously you just met Adam. My wife, Stacy, and I bought a lot on South Shore Drive at Indian River Inlet under the assumption that we could build a modular home on the property. There had been a double-wide mobile home on pilings on the property at the time we purchased it. The home was a bank foreclosure, which received no maintenance during the bank's ownership. The home had substantial damage, primarily to the roof. The roof had a hole and was covered by a tarp, which let water in, causing mold and water damage to the interior of the home, rendering the home uninhabitable. Based on this fact, it was decided that it was in our best interest, in the community's best interest, to remove the structure and start anew. Our understanding, based on conversations with the realtor, our lease agreement, and discussion with our contractor, was that we were able to construct a place and place a modular home on the existing lot. In addition, knowing that there were four other stick-built and modular homes, which make up approximately 23 and a half percent of the existing homes in the community. We felt this was the best way to go, given the quality of the build achieved through this form of manufacturing, especially given the hurricane activity that we've been seeing in the United States. As we started the planning and design phase with our contractor to build and place a modular home on the lot, we took in the following into consideration. One, that the modular home would be built to Sussex County code rather than HUD code. Two, due to the floodplain zoning, it would be placed on pilings. Three, we wanted to construct a more hurricane-resistant structure. Four, we wanted to ensure that we allowed and increased the available parking in the community by designing the home to improve on what was previously there. And five, that the home would not substantially affect adversely the neighboring and adjacent properties. In fact, we feel the enhancements proposed will substantially improve the community and related home values. Based on the facts above, we contracted and provided a deposit to Foreshore Homes to have a modular constructed, which is currently complete and sitting at the manufacturer's facility. To date, we've invested over $459,000 into the project, and our home has been sitting in Wilkes-Barre, PA since May of this year. At the time our builder went to apply for a permit, one was not issued due to the zoning classification. They then applied for a special use exemption. The application was denied by the planning director, and we were not given an opportunity for a hearing with the board for a special use exemption, similar to the other properties within the community. As stated above, there are four other stick-built or modular homes in the community, which represent 23.5% of all the homes in the community. All of these were previously unanimously approved by the board. The first case was November 2005 for Mr. Jack Parker. The second case was February 6th, 2012, which was case number 10935 for the Golding family. November 19th, 2012, case number 11098 for Bayside Homes. And the most recent case was April 21st, 2014, case number 11377 for the DeCristo family. More specific, we've done our research to date, pulling all prior cases and related to our community, both the audio files and the minutes from those cases. And one of the strongest contributing factors as to why we feel our appeal is justified is a discussion that occurred during case number 11098. Board member Mr. Rickard specifically asked the council, can we determine as the board that a stick-built or modular home can be placed in a mobile home park? Council responded that I presume from the Planning and Zoning Department that this is something they have determined to interpret that way. Planning and Zoning responded that there have been two or three homes in the community that the board had previously approved. The special use exemption was carried for that case as well as the three others previously mentioned. This recorded fact, we felt, justified our request to the county for special use exception. Since that case, no other cases have been heard for this community which have reversed this precedent. None of the existing owners ever received any documentation from the county stating, one, that there has been a change of interpretation of the code, two, that there has been a change of interpretation as it pertains to the community specifically, and three, that there has been any denied applications or hearings for similar requests in the community. We have received an abundance of support from our community for this project. We received 9 letters of support from the 17 existing homeowners, including our neighbors on each side of our lot and trustee. In addition, a few of our neighbors have made the trip from around the Mid-Atlantic to be here with us today in support of our efforts. In closing, it is our opinion that the values of land have grown to match this precedent set. Thus, reverting back to a HUD-only policy would be devastating to the existing owners. In addition, Stacy and I would not have leveraged our financial situation to the point that we did based on the facts stated above and the precedents that have been set. Stacy and I only want to better the community and the county. Therefore, we respectfully request that our appeal of the planning director's determination be granted and a special use exception to set a modular in the lot be approved based on the facts previously stated. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak?
Sorry, one question. Hey. Your home's not up yet, right?
No, sir.
Okay, so these are pictures of...
Those are photos of the existing... modular homes that have been approved by the board previously.
That we have already approved. Okay.
Yes, sir. They've referenced the case number on the bottom of those pictures just for classification.
Any further questions?
No, I have no questions.
Mr. Burgers, do you have any questions?
Not this time.
Okay. Ms. McGee?
Not right now.
Mr. Mills?
Yes, for clarification, could you read just the portion where you mentioned Mr. Rickard's name?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was during case 11098, board member Mr. Rickard specifically asked the council, can we determine as the board that a stick-built or modular home can be placed in a mobile home park? Council responded that I presume from the Planning and Zoning Department that this is something they have determined to interpret that way. Planning and Zoning responded that there have been two or three homes in the community the board has previously approved. And again, the special use exemption was carried for that case as well as the previous three.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Another question.
Okay.
So, I have a question.
Okay.
So you've shown us these. What's the other lots that are developed look like? What do they have on them?
They're some of the earlier homes. So they're mobile homes that have been built on and built on. If you kind of picture like Swan Keys or Cape Windsor or something, you know, that's a little closer to home. It's a kaleidoscope of additions on top of old mobile homes. Some of them you can't even tell, you know, were original single lots.
Okay.
So there's a great variety. But all of the new construction in the area over the past, I'll say, 8 or 9 years has been those homes. There haven't been any new mobile homes that have been put in there.
Same piling? Or are you putting all new in?
I believe we're going to put all new in based on the load counts for the new home. The previous modular or mobile home that was there wouldn't support the new structure.
So it's the same size?
It is the same floor
footprint?
Plan. Footprint,
same,
yes,
same
sir.
Footprint, just put new piles in. Nothing any different.
Yeah, the span of the pilings, it was detrimental in cost to try and reuse the pilings and work within them by adding more than to just basically pull them out and just start over.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, the footprint is pretty much going to remain unchanged. The elevation will change.
Elevation, but the footprint.
But the footprint won't.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, if you had pilings, was there that a modular home that was there?
No, that was a mobile home on a steel chassis, which was welded to another set of steel beams bolted to the top of the pilings. So it was a pretty wild assembly on that lot.
Okay. Any further questions?
Okay,
then we'll let now you want to. Okay, you can sit down up here. We'll have the
thank you, director.
Thank you,
come down.
Mr. Chairman. If I may, I just have a couple.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you come back up? I'm sorry, Mr.
Sorry, I was looking at the photos.
Oh, okay.
You've indicated that the home is not yet up, it's still at the manufacturing plant. When was the home ordered?
May.
Okay. Had there been an inquiry to planning and zoning prior to ordering the home?
No, there hadn't been.
There had not. Okay. So there had been no permits or anything issued before you ordered the home?
That's correct. Okay. We were basically following the assumption that it would be the same process as all of his neighbors, you know, no different, that he would be granted the ability to go to a special use exception, basically state the same case without asking for anything more than the previous, you know, than his neighbors. And, you know, we continue on that route.
And where that there was some risk that a special use exception could be denied, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I have no further questions. Thank you.
And, all right. And in that risk, assuming that because it would not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring adjacent properties, you assume this one wouldn't either. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. I mean, we were familiar with the arguments that were proposed in support of the exceptions earlier. And, you know, we were asking for the same thing.
Sure.
So basically just following precedent. But, you know, in hindsight, ordering the home, you know, there was great risk there. And part of that falls back on me because I actually was attended and spoke at one of the hearings for these 7 or 8 years ago. And our client, the Jason's neighbor, is in attendance here today supporting it. And since then I've had two kids and been married, and I don't sleep much anymore, so that hearing basically totally missed me when I was thinking about this project again. I'm trying to remember that, so had it come to mind, maybe things would have played out a little differently.
Sure.
One other question. You said 23% of those homes are like that? Are they going to be like yours?
Yes,
down
sir.
There now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're down there like that now.
Yeah.
Like that now.
Yeah. It's not a sprawling community. How many lots
are there? There's currently, I counted by the aerial, there's 18 homes there with two additional lots that have yet to be built upon.
Okay.
So for the 17 are currently like that. Yes.
Or like that.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I think some of the people who might speak later as neighbors who are supporting this cause are in the same situation, but just in different timing of their process. So they're also, you know, under following the same assumptions that we are. Unfortunately, for both of us, we're trailblazing a little bit for them because they just haven't come to the board yet.
But one thing I would like to state is that just because your neighbors got a variance, that does not substantiate a request for a variance. That doesn't mean that it's okay.
Right.
You understand that?
Yeah, I agree. And that goes back to the implied risk.
Okay.
You know. Yes.
Okay. Let me just one more other question.
Sure.
You mentioned this is lease land, correct? Yeah, you have a lease for that property?
It's a 99-year perpetual lease.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Now we'll step it up front and now I have the director do it. Excuse me. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Swear in, Ms. Cornwall. State your name and address for the record.
Janelle Cornwall, 612 Macaulay Street, Milford.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
So,
good evening.
So at issue today is an application for modular home to be located within a manufactured home park. So the property in question is a mobile home park. A mobile home park recognizes that you could have one stick-built home, typically for the manager, within a mobile home park. All of the other mobile homes are supposed to comply with the definition of a mobile home, which is, per the county code, homes within a manufactured home park must be a manufactured home or an authorized manufactured home. A manufactured home is defined as a movable or portable dwelling, not less than 450 square feet in size, constructed to be towed on its own chassis, connected to utilities, and designed with or without a permanent foundation for year-round occupancy, which can consist of one or more components that can be retracted for towing purposes and subsequently expanded for additional capacity of two or more units separately towable but designed to be joined into one integral unit. So that's the definition of a manufactured home. What they're requesting is a modular home. The county code recognizes that a modular home is a stick-built home, and that has to comply with the building code as a stick-built home and comply with the 2012 residential code as adopted by Sussex County. And they actually have to sign an affidavit when they make the application for a building permit. So there's actually even a difference in applications because for the placement of a mobile home, they get a placement permit. For a modular home, it's actually a building permit that they would receive. So it would stating that it complies with the building code. Now, the application for this instance was not processed as a result was sought to relieve the applicant is not available. It is considered a use variance, and state code does not authorize the county to grant use variances. They did recognize previous applications. I was not an employee of the county at the time of those applications, so I cannot speak as to why they came through. But I can also note that there is no section in code that allows for a special use exception for a modular home within a mobile home park. So there is not, that section of code does not actually exist in the county code, and it is the belief that it is actually a use variance, which the state has not granted the county authority to do that. Also want to emphasize that this impacts not just this mobile home park, this impacts all mobile home parks throughout the county. They've referenced that there are other places that have, this instance, they've allowed multiple modulars. Most recently, we had somebody else in a different mobile home park go, I have an old stick built. It's my dad's home. I want to build another one. And we said, unfortunately, you cannot, because the code only allows one stick built home in the manufactured home park. And what they did is they converted that old stick built home into a community facility. So then there was only, and they got a permit to build one new stick built. So now there is one stick built home in that mobile home park. And in this case, the concern is also, as well as, at what point does it become a mobile home park, and at what point does it become a subdivision? Because it cannot be both. You can't comply with both the subdivision regulations for stick-built homes and the separation distances and requirements for a manufactured home. We've seen that before. We've seen mobile home parks turn into fee simple lots, Swan Keys, Cape Windsor, Kennewick, and they have all subsequently then had to come back to the board for numerous variances because, again, those lots don't meet the code requirements. In this case, the modulars won't meet the subdivision or zoning code requirements for setbacks, lot size, etc., which means they also have issues meeting the manufactured home park requirements. And then the manufactured homes can't meet the subdivision requirements for types of home because the property is zoned MR. It's a non-conforming manufactured home park. Typically, manufactured home parks are not permitted in the MR district. This one is. So we have the issue is, well, we can't convert it into a major subdivision because the mobile homes are not a permissible use within that zoning district, which the stick built would. But right now we have a combination, and it has always been treated as a mobile home park. Excuse me. So I also want to just note that they attempted to get a building permit or a placement permit. When it was determined that they couldn't, they came over to the planning offices and asked what they could do. And we said, well, you can't actually, you know, put another stick-built home on the mobile home park because it's a mobile home park. You can have one. They attempted to submit a special use exception application that wasn't denied. We just gave it back to them because we told them we could not process it. And then I provided them the letter explaining the reasoning for the mobile home park. And again, at that point when they came in for the mobile home or for the modular home was to be delivered within the next 2 to 3 weeks. So it had clearly been ordered prior to them making an application for even a building permit, to verify that it complied with the building code. So the planning concern is that we believe it's a use variance, which does not have the authority. It causes other concerns, not for just this mobile home park, but for other mobile home parks, as this decision would impact the county overall. And while there may have been previous items in this application, I can't get into the details. There is no provision in the zoning code that allows for the placement of a modular home within a mobile home park, except for that one, which is permitted by code. And then at what point does the mobile home park become a subdivision? And then in this case, they can't comply with the subdivision regulations. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, Mr. Mills.
What would be the process then if this is medium residential with a mobile home park? What would be the process to convert it, such as a Swan Keys or has been done or whatever?
That would be other issues. They'd have to go through a major subdivision process, and the issue there is manufactured homes are not permitted in the MR zoning district. Single wides are not permitted in the MR zoning district.
Unless
there
might be non-conforming?
Unless they're non-conforming.
Okay. So that would be one option for this and or future requests.
That could be, is to create fee simple lots. But again, they might not have enough land to comply with fee simple lots because it is a smaller parcel of land.
So there's no plot plan that shows all these individual lots?
Not that I believe we might have something on record, but again, it's an older mobile home park that pre-existed zoning. So them having the 5,000 square feet and the 50 feet, and again, it's zoned MR, so each lot would actually have to have 10,000 square feet in lot size to be a legal lot as of this time with 100 feet of road frontage, which is, in a mobile home park, you need to be 5,000 square feet for the lot and only have 50 feet of road frontage.
So they can still put a mobile home there?
They can definitely put a mobile home there, not a problem.
And they could put it on pilings?
They would have to comply with the placement permit and requirements for any floodplain regulations.
Yeah, that's a low place back there.
Mm, it is.
Mr. Berger?
No questions. No questions. Okay, Mr. Sharp.
Just one thing, in looking at your letter, I think you referenced that one of the previous applications, it looks like 10935, was the same tax map parcel number. The other ones that were referenced by the appellant, are those the same tax map parcel numbers as well? Is this all one park, all one tax map?
There are actually multiple parcels for the mobile home park. There are at least two, which is why the legal ad references at least two parcels.
Okay. But it's not as though there's a dozen different lots for this park.
There's at least two.
Okay.
I don't have a question for Janelle, but I have a
question. I have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Is there any other questions from Mr. Cuomo?
So any park now, mobile park, is going to be that way now?
Well, that's the code as of today. The code says any manufactured home park, you can have one stick-built home within that park.
So it was always like that?
Yes.
And we, how to get to where we did it the other way then?
I can't answer that. I was not an employee of the county at the time those applications came forward.
You know,
I mean, as noted in that one that the appellant cited, that was one where he said if the office had determined it that way, then, you know, made that that decision at that time. One of the things in looking at the case that was cited, didn't see where in the, like for the example in the minutes there, normally, you know, now we have cited the section of code, they weren't cited in the agenda in those days. You know, we've since changed how we do that, so we can go back and look at it. So,
but those,
I think it was just a determination by the office that they could go ahead with that application at that time.
It's passed to us that way. Say what? Same reason.
Yeah, that's the reason I asked the question. Can you put a stick build in the mobile home park? And I got my answer, and you all got your answer on that. And like she said, she didn't, and she can't go back. She doesn't know, you know, why that determination. Okay.
So where does that leave us then?
Well, what you are is, this case is appellate board. So you're making a legal determination as to whether or not the applicant has the ability to go ahead with an application, and is not questioning the merits of it. That would be a different issue. Conversely, you look at and say we would affirm the decision that the planning and zoning director has made that they can't go ahead with that because there's no justification in our code.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what's before you today. I know as a matter of course, though, Mr. Chairman, we did say we were going to afford the appellant opportunity to speak again as well as anybody from the public. So,
oh, yeah, because we got a couple questions.
Yeah, and if, I don't know if there's any more questions for Ms. Cornwell either. But
okay.
I had another one for Jamie, though. I think they said they have other cases becoming in front of us later. Well, if that happens.
Well, this would be a determining factor. If we said no, those cases, then they would have to seek for a different zoning or
venue.
Yeah. You know, but if we go the other way,
then they can come.
Then we would keep coming this way.
Yeah.
And without speaking for Ms. Cornwell, I think that was part of the concern that she raised, that there are other mobile home parks in this county that,
right,
depending on the determination, could make.
Could make the same, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
Yeah.
And okay. We have to focus on what's presented to us on this case, not what was done years past.
That's correct. And, you know, What is before you now is does the applicant have the legal right to be able to apply for this? Is really the question. And is there a code provision that allows for that? I will, yeah, you mentioned it, and I did a little bit of research prior to the hearing, and I think, you know, this may be helpful, it may not. I don't know if this would help answer your question. But our county code, from a, if you look at section 115-15, it says, unless the contrary is clear from the context of the list or other regulations of this chapter, uses not specifically listed are prohibited. So what that means is our code is set up so that if it's not specific that it's allowed, we don't allow you to do it. So, you know, and that's been upheld in recent decisional law as well. There's also well-founded law in the state of Delaware that a property owner is, as well as a leaseholder, is, you know, it remains their responsibility to know the zoning regulations for their property. So that is a burden that the courts have, you know, put on a property owner or leaseholder in this instance. There have been some cases where individuals have asked for, you know, believe that they were equitably estopped from having these things that come up. But in order for that, the you know, that's a defense that's only used in very exceptional cases and is not something that is very frequent. So, you know, when you make this decision, I think, you know, and certainly we'll hear some more from these folks, but that's the prevailing case law and what the courts have said about, you know, how code is to be interpreted and what a property owner or leaseholder's obligations are.
Okay. So. Thank you for that. Okay. Well, so could we have you back up here again, please? And I believe, Mr. Mills, you said you have a question? None now?
No.
Do you have any questions?
I have a question. On this handwritten application, it says that you purchase the property at market value with the assumption and understanding that they would enjoy the same rights. So how did you understand that? Who told you that?
The value of the property?
No, that you would understand that you would enjoy the same rights allowed to other residents in the community. Who told you when you bought the, before or when you bought the property, that you would be able to do this?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it would be implied, but maybe
yeah,
you have
I mean,
a specific.
In discussions with our realtor.
Who was your realtor?
Actually, I don't remember the name of it. It's been so long ago. Mark Fischel Realty out of Ocean City. Also, within the land lease, it specifically states, actually, that when the deed changes hands, that a stick built or modular has to be put onto the property. Now, I understand that that's not the county.
Who owns the property?
It was Simpson's Mobile Home Park, and then Mr. Simpson had passed away, so John Kerr, I believe is his name, is now the trustee of the development. And then also in relying on our you know, contractor as part of the process.
If I can just add something, I think just from your questions, I could tell you pretty much have a thorough understanding of both sides, but just to go back to something that the zoning director mentioned, there's an obvious problem with the property. We have MR zoning, which doesn't allow mobile homes, but is classified as a mobile home park. So that's a, you know, problem at the county level that is probably just having to do with the period of time, you know, when the property was established and zoning code and how things were enforced. But, you know, as time goes by, that problem presents itself in other ways. So, Mr. Mills, you had mentioned perhaps changing this to a subdivision or to a community. And then she responded, well, that might not be so practical because it has mobile homes on it, and MR doesn't allow mobile homes. So there's really no path to get out of this as far as I can understand.
Well, I guess my question for you, Mr. Burns, because I did hear Ms. Cornwell's testimony that it's a non-conforming mobile home park. So it is allowed to have mobile homes on it right now, I believe is what
yes.
Ms. Cornwell had testified.
Correct. They are. But as a solution moving forward, the question is, well, what if the residents want to switch this to a subdivision and continue on the path that they are with the property values and the type of construction. Well, that path doesn't appear to be so clear if MR does not allow mobile homes and there's mobile homes existing in the subdivision.
It does, to me, it does sound somewhat catch-22 in that you've got a median residential zoning that doesn't allow mobile homes, but you've got a non-conforming mobile home park that does. So then what happens when, as in this case, the home was damaged beyond the point that it's livable any longer and has to be replaced, and so now you have, it's catch 22. You can't put a mobile home in because of the non-conforming status to the median residential.
I'm not sure that's correct, Mr. Mills, because I think Ms. Cornwell even testified to this, that you can replace, they could put another mobile home on that property.
Yes.
Is what she had testified to.
Okay.
And maybe we could ask her that question specifically. I mean, I think what she was saying was there was an option for use of that property. The concern, I think, Mr. Rones, and if this isn't correct, please let me know, is that if at some point the folks in that community wanted to convert it to something that wasn't mobile homes and was stick-built like some other communities nearby, Swan Keys and some of those that are out there, that there may not be a pathway for them to do that, probably because some of the homes there are mobile homes, and if I had to guess, some of the lots there probably are under 10,000 Absolutely. Square feet. So that's the problem if they were trying to go that route. But it sounds to me, and Ms. Cornwell could answer this, as to whether if they wanted to use these as mobile homes, they could continue using those as mobile homes. Is that right, Ms. Cornwell?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So yes, it is a mobile home park, so they can put mobile homes back into the mobile home park.
Okay, then the dilemma of what you had mentioned that you know, it may not be possible to change this zoning. It was because of.
Well, no, it may not be. They could change. Ask the property owner could ask to change the zoning to a different zoning classification. That's within their rights to do. That would go through a process. It might be difficult to convert it from a mobile home park into a fee simple subdivision because of the minimum lot sizes and road frontage that are required for fee simple lots.
For the same amount of lots, in other words.
Correct.
Okay.
But yeah, they can definitely put mobile home, we recognize it as a mobile home park, they can put mobile home back.
So they would have to, I don't know, what is it, 50-foot minimum frontage, or?
For a mobile home park, it's 50 feet.
And what is it for a
medium? It's 100 feet for a fee simple lot.
Okay.
And 10,000 square feet in the MR zoning district is the minimum lot size. In a mobile home park, the minimum lot size is 5,000.
Okay. So they pretty much would have be limited to perhaps half the buildable.
Potentially.
Yeah, okay. Buildable lots.
So people would have to leave the lot. They change that over to that. You couldn't have that many mobile homes in there. So it'd be, what I'm trying to say, it's going to be housing instead of the mobile home. People would be losing their homes there. What I'm saying, they change that
potentially.
Over.
Potentially. And that's not. I'm just saying that's an option they could look into if they want to continue moving forward with stick-built homes homes. Because right now it only allows for
one
stick-built, and all the others are required to be manufactured homes.
Yeah, right now it allows for 5,000 square foot lots. Where if it was a medium residential zoning, it would be
10,000,
which means that half of the capacity of homes could be there.
Either, yes.
Potentially,
or they could come to the board and ask for variances.
Or
if I could speak just to one more point
sure.
Before, I'm sure you have a couple more questions, but Mr. Harshberger alluded to this earlier, but I'm kind of going back a little bit again to the precedent fact, you know, that it has come to the board before and it's been approved. And while I know that doesn't guarantee anything in the future, what it did do to the homeowners is it changed the character and the value of that community. So whereas, let's say 10 years ago, one of those 99-year leases might have been worth $40,000, then we start building bigger homes. Well, people are paying a lot more, and they're not paying a lot more to put a single wide or double wide on the property. And I just asked Mr. Harshberger, but I'm going to ask him to share, if you don't mind, if you could please tell them what you paid for the property with the damaged mobile home on it.
$350,000.
And I think we can all agree that that's not a value that's reflected in a lease for a mobile home park in terms of this county.
No, but you bought what was there. And if you'd have done due diligence and found out what you could have actually put there, then you may not have done that. Or the realtor not knowing what he was talking about.
Well, yeah, we've had lots of negative conversations about the realtor, the closing attorney, but
I mean,
we're
not
past that now. We can't get back to them.
Right.
So, you know, that's why we're here for
it's
this.
It's unfortunate, but it's definitely a situation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mess. We all agree. We've been working on it a long time. But, you know, I don't know or need to know anybody's personal finances, but I know if it doesn't go in their favor, it's going to very adversely affect them, and I imagine the other people in the community, too, that either think they have something that's a certain value or have actually paid a certain value for one of these lots based on what they could build. And our due diligence did include and has recently included, you know, speaking to Mr. Lawson at the county, working with Representative Gray, and going back to all these case hearings and, you know, understanding their arguments, listening to the board's responses, listening to the chair's responses. So there's, you know, there's a history of results here that we're basing this request on.
What does Representative Gray have to do with us?
Well, to be totally honest, we weren't getting what we thought was an active dialogue with the county in explaining the denial for this request and why he would be treated any differently than any of the previous people who had been approved it. And Representative Gray, I think, assisted us greatly in getting that dialogue going again, because time was important. You know, he had to know what was going on with his property and what his future held. So he basically just, you know, us understood our dilemma and helped us get that dialogue going, because we weren't getting a timely response.
Okay.
In our opinion.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I got one question. Is most of the lots is that in that range?
In terms price of value or in terms of size?
That size and plus price range.
There are two other lots that are for sale in the community, and they are both listed, I think, for $350 as well.
And they have mobile homes on them?
There's nothing on those lots.
Nothing on
them? No, sir.
Okay.
They're empty lots.
Empty lots.
I think right. Mr. Kerr better revise his lease.
Okay, any further questions?
I have no further questions. Thank you,
Mr. Okay, you can stand. I'm going to call. Is there any persons here that would like to speak on behalf of these? Okay, can I have a show of hands again? Sir, do you want to come? All right, there's one, two, three. Okay, all those that would like to speak, I would ask you please to come forward at this time and be sworn in. Again, all those that wish to speak, please come forward. Last call. Come over and be sworn in if you would, please.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Stephen Golding, 30 South Shore Drive, Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Okay. Thank you.
Rob Starzl, 22 South Shore Drive, Bethany Beach, Delaware.
Thank you.
Andrea Doyle, 312 Longwood Drive, Chatsford, Pennsylvania.
He said Doyle?
Doyle.
Do the three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And if you can just go up when you say, just repeat your name for the record. So whoever wants to go first.
Stephen Golding, 30 South Shore Drive, Bethany Beach, Delaware. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. If I may, I also have photos that I'd like to pass out.
All right, sir.
Thank you for allowing me to speak tonight. I'm here with my wife, Linda, and several members of our community. Linda and I are the next door neighbors to the property in question. We were also one of the four homes that were built on our street with the special zoning variances and are thankful to the board for allowing us to build and live in this lovely community. In addition to being neighboring property owners, I am also president of the Homeowners Association for our street. Because the HOA needs to go through some legal steps to be fully functional, I will not presume to speak on behalf of the membership. However, I will speak on behalf of the HOA board, who could not be here in attendance tonight. Well, I'm speaking tonight in full support of the zoning variance that would allow the Harshberger family to build their home next door to ours. I have passed out photos of the lot in its current condition. Quite lovely, isn't it? Well, that's the beautiful view we're going to be stuck looking at for a long time, maybe forever, if this zoning variance doesn't go through. Linda and I have been here since 2012, and that property has been unoccupied the entire time. The house was neglected, left to rot, and finally, after 5 years, the Harshbergers came forward to purchase the property with plans to build a nice new home. I can assure you, if the zoning variance is not approved, this property will be left vacant. No one is going to buy the lot just to put a trailer in. And frankly, from a county taxpayer perspective, I have to ask, why in the world would the county want to give up the tax revenue on a new home improvement versus a trailer, or more likely, nothing? We all pay taxes on our homes as improvements, which supports the county and local economy. Furthermore, each of us homeowners support the local business economy, clothing, groceries, dining. We even use local contractors, as you can see, to do our improvements. We bring in family and friends who support the local economy. If you look at our street, you will see lovely homes, with all due respect, not trailers. Several of us have built modular or stick-built homes. Even those who still have double wides have made improvements that make them more like small homes than trailers. Failure to pass the zoning variance will severely hamper homeowners who wish to upgrade their homes. Families who have to sell their properties because of death or other causes will be unable to find buyers with these restrictions. We're a community of residential homes, not a trailer park, notwithstanding the county regulations. Additionally, we've talked a little bit about this, but I'll mention that we do live in a Cobra flood zone. All of the newer modular stick-built homes are built in full compliance with FEMA regulations for hurricanes and severe storms. And this, of course, is overseen by county inspectors. In order to obtain financing for a home on our street, you must be FEMA compliant, which for all intents and purposes means you need a zoning variance. And given the discussion that we've had earlier about the market value of the properties now in this area, most people are going to seek financing. Lastly, I ask that you take this in perspective. We're not a 400 home development or a 400 site trailer park. We're 20 lots on a small street on South Shore Marina. I realize that this is a very unique problem that you're facing because of the hybrid nature of the history of this place. But I believe that solutions can be found, even if it's a dual kind of zoning for this area. And I think that can address some of the issues that we've seen. But I want to reemphasize the fact that we do support what the Harshbergers are doing here, and I think we need to look practically at what's going on in this community. It is nothing like what it was originally intended. One thing I would like to mention in response to a question that was raised earlier, and it has to do about the rights and privileges. Our 99-year leases do spell out in great detail what those rights and privileges and duties and responsibilities are, and so those are very apparent. In addition, we've in the past had numerous correspondence from the property owner, who originally was Mr. Simpson, John Kerr is now the trustee of Mr. Simpson's estate. And so it has laid out a number of these rights and regulations and, frankly, expectations. And the expectations have always been that this community would evolve from a trailer park to a home community, which it has and which it is. Thank you very much for your the time that you've allowed me to speak.
Okay, sir.
So I got a question for you.
Yes.
How many trailers in there right now?
Well, I would say none. If you use the word trailer, I would tell you that sure technically they are. We do have double wide homes, in but I think we have. I think it's about 15 at this stage.
15.
Yes.
Trailers in there right now.
They're double wide.
Double wide.
Yes. Okay. Maybe a little less. It might be 13 or 14. I'm trying to remember the math from the discussion from earlier.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Okay. Next.
Hi, my name's Rob Startzel. I'm here with my wife, Cindy. We live at 22 South Shore Drive. Okay, and we're here in full support of the Harshbargers and what they're attempting to do. And we're in the same predicament. I don't have a prepared speech. I wasn't expecting to speak, but I'll keep it short. We have a house, we have a double wide that was built in 1985, and it's in disrepair. I'm fairly handy. I've hired local workers. We pay our taxes, and I've done a lot of work myself, but we're at the point now where it economically doesn't make any more sense to put any more new material into this house. So we are a few steps behind them in planning our new house. And simply put, I mean, especially with the storms, we've kind of waffled back and forth as to what to do and how much money to spend. And for me, especially with what we see now with these storms, despite all the other things that we've talked about, the zoning and the legal things, I want to protect my family, and I want to build the safest, most storm-resistant house that I possibly can. So the construction methods of a double-wide versus a modular house are, there's quite a gap in there. So I know as far as the different things that they can use as far as strapping and all the other things that are available now today's far exceed what we can get with a double wide. So anyway, I'm really hoping for a positive outlook, not just to improve the community, but also to keep our family safe and our friends that come down to visit as well. So thank you.
I have a question for you.
Okay, sure.
Your 99-year lease.
Yes, ma'am.
What does it state if you replace that double wide?
Well, they, I'm trying to remember exactly how it's worded, but Mr. Simpson said he wanted us to replace that with a modular or a stick-built house.
It is in wording in
yes.
the lease.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, to touch on something a little bit earlier, when we moved to this area in 2013, first of all, we bought the house, and 2 weeks later, Hurricane Sandy hit. And we were in Pennsylvania. We had no idea what was going to happen. But luckily, we sustained a minimum amount of damage compared to other folks. But we moved down here full time, and also with the assumption that based on the homes that were already stick-built or the modulars that were there, that's what we would be doing someday. It was just kind of a known thing, especially with what Mr. Simpson had put in the bylaws.
Well, you send the other ones you thought you were fine later down the road.
Yes. Yep.
Based on what Mr. Simpson had
exactly.
done.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Good evening. Andrea Doyle from Chatsford, Pennsylvania, 312 Longwood Drive, Chatsford, Pennsylvania. We too purchased the modular, first of all, I want to say thank you for your service, sir, particularly on a day like today. So thank you for your service. We purchased the double wide in 2014 from Mike Redman, and we have two teenage daughters, and we had the expectation, and also, too, I want to acknowledge, thank you for doing due diligence and trying to adhere to the code and as it's stated. But we were always under the assumption, I do not know the ins and outs, I'll tell you that right now. But we had the assumption eventually we would either put a modular or stick built home. This would be a place, we live 2 hours away. My husband's a retired police, I'm a teacher. And when our girls are out of college, we're going to come here and we're going to give to the community. We're going to build. July 4th weekend, this has just been a wonderful place. My friends and family say it's a slice of heaven. We just love it. And we're going to build. We had 11 people sleeping in floors and the patio and the deck. My daughter and two friends were in a hammock on the deck. And, you know, hopefully one day if we're blessed enough with grandchildren, we'd like to bring that. So we're going to bring, you know, we just love it down here. We see how it's grown. We want to give back to the community. And if we can expand on this, this might not be our, you know, slice of heaven down here. We might, you know, have to seek elsewhere. The people are wonderful, beautiful people. We just absolutely love it down here. And talking about, you know, revenue, tax revenue, you're certainly going to get more tax revenue with, you know, larger homes than mobile homes. Mobile homes are wonderful too, but we seek to go to the next level. And especially with safety and look what's going around the country with the storms, we want to make it safe for all. So I just ask on the, you know, the level of community. We want to build this community. You have laid the foundation. You work hard for this community on this board. We thank you for your time and service as well. And we just want to build on building the future for a greater future for this community.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Question?
Well, hold on. Contacted this man.
I have one more question. If you would come forward, please, and then we'll.
Has anyone contacted Mr. Kerr and let him know that the dilemma that this community is in? Because he's the trustee and he's the owner of the property that we can only deal with the code and what's presented to us.
I've not had any discussion with Mr. Kerr.
I've discussed briefly with him during going through the lease agreement and our understanding that as part of the lease agreement that once a deed does transfer that we were required to build a stick built or modular home there just to reaffirm that. Outside of that communication, he's aware of our meeting tonight. And he
made no attempt or no one asked him to be here?
I asked him to be here. He resides in Florida and obviously with the hurricane, you know, know if he couldn't get up here or if he was planning on coming up here, but I did request that he be here. He did send in a letter of support, obviously, one of the nine.
But, I mean, he can't put that in legally put that in a lease if it's not zoned for this, but okay. I feel sorry for you guys because I think you're in a dilemma with this.
It's just to be clear, it's in your lease that if a lot is transferred, so if you had another, like these two that are listed for 350, if somebody were to buy those, and I think you said they're vacant, but if they had a mobile on them, they would be required then to have a stick built put on there. They couldn't just occupy the same.
There's nothing on those lots.
I know. So let's assume they had a mobile on there. Let's say that one of these lots that had a mobile on there, if somebody were to list and sell that, and then they were to have the new tenant were to come in, the landlord is requiring that the new tenant then remove that
and
put a stick built.
That's what the lease article stated.
Okay.
That's what George stated, right? You said?
I'm sorry?
Yours stated
yes,
that.
Yes, sir, and they're all the same.
Because you're mobile down, so you're mandatory to put a stick built back.
Well, it can't be, because those people that bought it in 2014, they're still living in a double-wide, or a, yeah, a double-wide mobile home, so they didn't replace it.
It says if it's to be replaced.
If it's to be replaced.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be replaced.
I mean, he's going to replace it.
I thought he said when the lease transferred to someone else.
Yeah, that's what I was a little confused about. So only if it needs to be replaced. So you could, I got you. Okay. Sorry, I was a little confused there. Thank you.
Okay. Just to bring the point up, as it relates to that, I don't know if that's in some way an attempt to conform more closely with the MR zoning that doesn't require mobile homes. Maybe that was something, you know, 30 years ago they identified as a problem, and that was, you know, the owner's solution to eliminate that problem. Well, over the years, we'll get rid of the mobile homes and we'll put stick builds and we'll be fine with MR zoning. But there's definitely flaws.
Come before the counting, that's the problem.
Agreed. We're all speculating on how this all came to be.
Yeah.
True.
Okay.
You're
finding that word assumption is becoming very dangerous.
It chases me every day since I started this. Yes.
I assume this, I assume that, and to my experience, it never works out.
I try to support it with the word precedent.
Okay. So how long has this been going on?
How long since we've been involved in this process?
Yes.
We dealt with the bank for probably 9 months to purchase the property, and then we got it under contract, I believe, around August of 2016. We started the building process, which has not been the most fun. Finally got the home manufactured and found out about the issue around May. So we lost the entire summer with our family and friends down there, and right now we have basically a vacant lot that you've got a picture of.
So this is going to be your permanent home?
No, it would be a secondary residence for us. We have a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old that are highly involved in summer activities, so okay. We use it as much as we can.
Okay.
So it says on the application they purchased it in October of 16.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did anyone else have any questions for Janelle? No, we'll...
Has the county made any attempts to contact John Kerr and let him know that he's in violation and that?
Well, the county has not made attempts to talk to him because we just, as part of this testimony, heard that there is a private deed restriction that, well, and again, the county doesn't enforce, and that is not in compliance with the zoning code.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Say that again. That.
So there's a private deed restriction. The county does not have any enforcement power over private deed restrictions, and then apparently this one is not in compliance with the zoning code because it states something but that goes...
It sounds like it's a lease, like an issue in the lease, because this isn't
it's a nine-year lease.
So there is this isn't a fee simple situation. So it sounds like it's a lease situation. So your testimony, you just didn't know about till just now.
Correct. Did not know about that.
Okay. Janelle, when was it brought in front of you?
I wrote the letter in June. They came in probably a couple weeks prior to that.
Okay.
And we were trying to work with them to try and figure out a path forward, and this is the path forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We thank you all. Okay.
Is there anybody opposed to it?
Is there anyone here that's opposed to this? Okay, chair hearing none then. Okay. I'll leave it up to the board.
Make a motion to table case number 12,015.
Talking about next regular meeting. Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Mills. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second the motion. And our next regular meeting is next Monday night.
Yes, next Monday night.
And what I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, and I've spoken with Ms. Cornwell about this because it's very rare that we have back-to-back meetings. There's already another item that we're planning on having to put on that agenda. So this evening we will get that agenda revised so that it's on there. So it'll be on for next week.
It will be able to be.
Yep. Okay. We'll be able to get that on there. We've made provisions
just
because of the back-to-back weeks that we're going to make sure that
gets well. Appreciate that. Okay.
And that way, these folks don't have to wait.
Already. Okay. I got a motion in by Mr. Mills, a segment by Ms. McGee, that we table case number 12,015 until our next regular meeting, which will be next Monday night, the 18th. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Mr. Becker?
Aye.
Ms. McGee?
Aye.
Mr. Mills?
Aye.
And I, Mr. Callaway, so by a vote of 5-0, case number 12,015 is tabled until our next regular meeting, which is next Monday night. Okay?
And you don't need to be here, but you can listen to it online if you'd like.
If you'd like.
Call the morning, call the office in the morning for the results. Typically, like with tonight, usually at the end. So, but I mean, you can listen to it. It'll be up the next morning too to listen to it online as well.
Okay.